Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Sometimes historic events suck. But what shouldn't suck is learning about history. I do that through storytelling. History That Doesn't Suck is a chart-topping history podcast created by me, Professor Greg Jackson. Listen to History That Doesn't Suck on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's your fault. I can't stop the jam. Can't stop the boogie. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Here we go. The Friday edition of the Rob Brown Show starts now. Welcome in, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages. It's Friday. Thank God it's Friday, yeah. I haven't heard the song since the last time you played it because I forgot about it after that day, and I'm glad you brought it back into my life.
Yeah, I was sick a couple of Fridays, unfortunately, so, you know.
What day is it?
I believe that it might be Friday.
I really wanted it to kick
yeah,
right
I know,
there.
But you haven't got it yet.
Yeah, I don't have it.
There's a lot of music in this song because it was disco, and it's still a lot of fun to skate to.
I mean, we're boogieing, I believe is what your generation called it.
My generation did, you're right.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank God it's Friday, yeah, version of the Rob Brown Show starts now. Welcome in, great to have you. Happy Friday to everybody who is Tyrese Halliburton and nobody else. Remember yesterday when we had Mario on the show and he's like, I don't think we can win this game, guys. And I said, maybe hold your horses. I think this team can just hang in there. They just got to hang in. If they're close in the fourth, they're giving themselves a chance. And Talking Heads said no. And Mario said no.
He was right about one thing.
Brad said no.
He was right about the fact that they were going to be nervous at the beginning and that got them in a hole. All those turnovers in the first quarter, and it looked like an insurmountable hill to climb, and they still in the fourth quarter down by double digits. It was good. It was really good.
It was fantastic. I really did for a hot minute there think Rob Brown's going to look like an idiot tomorrow on the radio because Rob Brown spent all day saying Pacers can win game one. Pacers can win game one. Pacers can get why couldn't they win game one? They couldn't win game one against the Knicks, and then they did. They couldn't win game one of any other series, and then they just kept doing that over and over and over. And when it comes down to it, Tyrese Halliburton has rocks. And they're well coached. Like, they're going to be fine. The Pacers did not have a lead until there were 0.3 seconds remaining on the clock in the game. They went 59 minutes, 59.7 seconds of not a lead in this game. And then Tyrese knocks down a mid-range J off the dribble drive right-hand side with 0.3 seconds left to play. And the Pacers snag game one, 111-110. And I got to tell you, I stayed up. Lonzo and I had a big discussion about this yesterday. I'm going to stay up late and watch sports and just pay for it in the morning kind of guy. Okay? That's how much I love you, the people. I'm a stay up late, watch the game, and I'll pay for it tomorrow kind of dude. So I stayed up late to watch the game. Started at like 8:45. Started watching. Got the halftime. And I thought, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go watch the second half of this game in the bed, because as the great one pointed out, for a hot minute there, it looked like it was just going to be all thunder all day. So I got up, took the dogs out, took care of my business, whatever, put on the pajamas, and then went back into the bro cave to shut everything down, right? Because I got baseball on this TV. I got the Women's College World Series on that TV. I had a replay of something on YouTube on my laptop. And then I had the NBA Finals on the big TV. And so I went back in the bro cave to shut everything down right as they were getting the second half started. Well, I looked over into the bedroom, and the lady friend was already out. She was sawing the logs, all right? Like, and she did that fall asleep before she says goodnight, because she didn't know she was going to fall asleep thing, which I know means she's exhausted. So I'm like, all right, you know what? I'm going to let her be. I'll just finish as much as I can finish it here, and when I'm out, I'm out. Zoe and I had the conversation yesterday about, bro, just DVR it. And whenever you don't finish at night, finish it the next day. That's just not in my DNA, all right? I ain't got that in me. So I went, and I'm like, I'll just watch whatever I can watch. I'll DVR the rest, and then I'll get up and I'll finish it in the morning, either before I drive into or after I get to the office. And then, you know, it gets to be the end of the third, and I'm like, all right, I'm starting to wrap it up. But it's gone from like a 14-point lead down to 10, and you all know the expression. The only minutes that matter in an NBA game are the last 2 minutes, right? Like, they're all blowouts until the last 2 minutes. So I'm like, all right, well, Women's College World Series is really good. Texas Tech putting on an absolute show last night. Kennedy was in fuego off the bump. I'm like, I'm just going to finish it. YOLO, yeet, I'm just going to finish this game. So I just kept watching. And when you know it, here come the Pacers. And that 10-point lead's now 8. That 8-point lead's now 6. That 6-point lead's now 4. And I'm like, uh-oh, maybe there's something cooking here. Maybe there's a little something on the docket here. And then the 6 lead was 4, and then the 4 lead was 2, and then we got a tie game, and then the Thunder score. And it's like, uh-oh, they found their, Stella got her groove back. Look out. And then it just kept being close. And the next thing I know, I'm like, there's a minute left in this game. Pacers got it tied. I got to stick around. And then it was back and forth. And then here comes Tyrese bleeping Halliburton, drives down the right-hand side. Now, stayed up late because I wasn't going to go in the bedroom and disturb the lady friend. Tyrese gets the rock, brings it up the floor. Thunder are very clearly going to try to ISO him and say, somebody else has got to make this shot. We are not going to let you hit your 5th tie or go ahead last second shot of these playoffs. Tyrese goes right, not much space. Little step back, generates the space, launches the J, and I could not stop myself. I just went, go in. Couldn't help it. Just yelled at the TV and no one else, go in real loud. Well, it goed in.
Okay, and that's why. See, I was really thinking about this yesterday and thinking about it more on the way in this morning, and it's how we watch. You watch these as a fan, and I'm watching them as an analyst, and it's usually the opposite. And yeah, you get you're analytical in how you watch it because you understand the plays and stuff, but I'm watching it as work. And I am a fan of the game, but I'm not a fan of the team. So it makes me watch it without the emotion. And I don't think you can watch a game of anything, even if it's a game of croquet, without emotion.
Oh, I agree with that entirely. And I think there's two aspects
which
of that.
Which is why you should go to bed early.
There's two aspects of that.
Because how wound were you after that shot?
Oh, let me finish my story and you'll know. Tyrese puts it up. I went, go in. And it goed in. And I'm like, you got to be kidding me. I text Mario. Oh, bleep. He writes back because he's doing his show at this point, right? He writes back, yes, sirs. My mother texted me before the game. She's like, I haven't really been paying attention. Who's going to win this series? And I was like, well, everybody's picking the Thunder. I'm picking the Pacers in 7. But because I actually said the Thunder in 7 yesterday to Mario, and then I texted Mario later in the day, and I'm like, Yeah, I think I'm changing to the Pacers. Now, I'm going to stick with Thunders in seven because I said it on the air, and I can't really prove to any of you that I changed my pick before the game. So I'm just going to own what I said on air, which is Thunder in seven, fine. But I said it's going seven. That was my pick. And I feel pretty good about that now. So I texted her back. I'm like, everybody's picking the Thunder. I'm picking the Pacers in seven. I said the Thunder on the air. I changed it, but I'll own it, whatever. I said, but I think it's going to be a real good series. Texted my mom, holy bleep, after it was over. Texted the little brother. He was watching. Like, my phone just became lit because it was just text flying around. Like, here's that man. There's that man. There's him. And at that point, your boy was amped. So I get up at that point because I'm like, all right, it's been, you know, an hour since I let the dogs out. Let me let one of them's a puppy. She's only like 5 months. She got to go a bunch. Let me take the dogs back outside. I'm going to go get me a little water, cool off. I walk out of the bro cave. And as I do, I look in there because whenever I'm not in bed yet, the puppos lay in the bed with the wife while she takes her slumber before I come to bed because I go to bed after her every day. I look in there and she is like awake with eyes staring at the door. And as I looked in, she goes, really? And I was like, yeah, that's on me. That's my bad. That's my fault. I got a little amped there. That game ended. I don't even know what time that game ended. I think it was around like 11:35, 11:40, something like that. That game ended. I did not go to sleep until like 12:45. I was absolutely jacked up. How could you not be amped up by that? Like, so there's two elements to what you said a second ago. The first is I watch every game as an analyst, but I am a fan of basketball. Right? That stems from the old man who told me for a long time, and it's not like a revolutionary statement. You've all heard it. But, you know, do what you love and you'll never work a day in your life. We, because I can only speak for me, am very fortunate to work in an industry that I love the concept of. I love sports. If I wasn't watching last night as a sports talk radio show host, I would have been watching anyway just as a basketball guy. So I'm lucky to live in that world. And because I do live in that world, when incredible basketball things happen, I get kind of pumped up about them. Same with football, same with soccer, same with hockey, same with baseball, whatever. When things that are connected to the things that I love happen, yeah, I get ramped up, I get amped up, I get ready to roll. And that's what happened last night. Like, I don't see how you could watch the last handful of minutes of that game. I don't see how you could watch Tyrese, the most quote-unquote overrated player in the NBA, knock down another dagger and not get a little excited, not feel it twitch a little bit.
I watched it this morning. I was excited, but I don't have to yell about it. I don't have to get so amped up. But again, this is me understanding my body, understanding how it works. I will not play a fast-paced video game. I will not watch anything too excitable right before I go to bed because sleep is important. And I also know having something, and this could be, no, I think I've always been this way, having something fresh in my mind, it's easier for me to talk about. So, and like you said, you get up and you go. I get up and I have a routine, and part of my routine is having 20 minutes to a half hour to watch sports if I need to in the morning before I leave. And so that gives me plenty of time. So I was able to watch. I went to bed halfway through the third quarter last night, started back up where it was this morning, and watched the rest of the game. And even you've seen me at wrestling events. You've seen me at some events. I'm just not that emotional jump up guy. I will do it on occasion. I was a fan of the Bulls back in the day when Jordan was there. There are a couple of shots that made me jump up. The first time Cameron jumped in his mom's belly was when John Paxson hit a shot. It's either John Paxson or it was what's his name from Golden State. Steve Kerr.
Steph Curry.
Steve Kerr.
Oh.
No, he's not that young. Those games, because I was a fan of those games, I'm going to get a little more amped up because I am a fan of basketball. I'm a fan of the NBA, but I'm not emotionally invested. When I'm watching it and it's not a team I pull for, I'm watching it to see how the game, just like when Halliburton got the ball, they set it up for him to have the final shot. The confidence they had in him to get that final shot was pretty cool because they pass it off to him to make sure that he got it. The fact that they didn't stop him, and it happened a couple times, Indiana was able to get back into the game because they kept leaving them open for the three in the corner that they were nailing every three, and it didn't matter which player was taking the shot from there. And they were barely getting hands in their face, and that's the reason why they were able to get back in the game halfway through the fourth quarter.
The game plan for that last night was we'll let Indiana shoot the three because they're not a great three. They're good, but they're not a great three-point shooting team. And I think the game plan the entire time for the Thunder defense was, we'll let them have the three. We're just not going to let them have anything else. I want Chet clogging up the middle. I want, Tyrese.
By the way, the first half, the paint was clean. They couldn't get in there, no matter what. And it looked like that they just decided, we're just not going to go in there. We're just going to stay out here. And then beginning of the second half, they tried to penetrate and get in there some, and they were getting beat up. But it looked like OKC wore down as the game went on.
Well, I think you got to a point where, first and foremost, the Thunder created 19 turnovers in the first half. You know what was
It wasn't all them. Some of it was poor passing. When you're trying to pass into the lane and there's like three guys in there, it's a dumb pass.
That's generated by an efficient defense, right? 19 turnovers in the first half. They made a point on the broadcast to point out that at one point in that game, the number one search request on Google in the United States was most turnovers in an NBA Finals game. Like, that was trending on Google for a while because people saw 19 turnovers in the first half and were like, all right, what's the max, right? Here's the thing. You know how many turnovers they had in the second half? Five. Right? So I think you had a couple of things. That were going on there. I think you had a couple of things that were happening. I think you had a Thunder game plan of, we will let them have just about anything they want from the outside. What we're not going to let them do, we're not going to let them have the inside. We're not going to let them have the paint. And then they were generating turnovers. In the second half, once Indiana took better care of the basketball, once Pascal Siakam kind of started to get going a little bit, then the Thunder defense had to expand outwards. Indiana suddenly started finding points in the paint. Miles Turner knocked down a couple of mid-rangers and short-range Jays. It forced the Thunder to kind of reevaluate the defensive strategy. And once they did that, their game plan went away. Their ability to be reciprocal on offense, to counterattack on offense, went away. And then so did the lead, just started chipping away. We're going to talk a lot about this Phenomenal radio professional, ladies and gentlemen. We are going to talk a lot about this game over the course of the day, as it is Friday. Got some rando stuff for you throughout the day. We're going to talk women's and men's College World Series today. We will break down games two of both the Stanley Cup and NBA Finals and more as we roll through the Thank God It's Friday Yeah version of the Rob Brown Show here on the Fan Upstate.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Sometimes historic events suck. But what shouldn't suck is learning about history. I do that through storytelling. History That Doesn't Suck is a chart-topping history-telling podcast chronicling the epic story of America decade by decade. Right now, I'm digging into the history of incredible infrastructure projects of the 1930s, including the Hoover Dam, the Empire State Building, the Golden Gate Bridge, and more. The promise is in the title, History That Doesn't Suck. Available on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yes, we are going to yell loudly about the Braves today. Yes, we are. And those of you who don't like it are just going to have to bleep and deal with it. Because what happened yesterday was so bad, it took me out of my zone of apathy. And it placed me into a zone of rage. Not even like yelling and screaming and flipping tables rage. No, none of that. None of that. It put me into a place yesterday of, you know that mad that you get? Like parents, I think a lot of parents know this mad. I think a lot of you that have like high pressure job, you know that mad that you get sometimes where you don't even yell? You're not yelling. You're not like, hey, you little son of a, you're not yelling. You're just like, okay, that checks out. That's how this is. That's where they got yesterday. That's the zone that they, this is how my day went yesterday. I was sitting there enjoying my day. I'm like, oh, the Braves are hitting the ball. They're scoring runs. I'm having a good, I had a good lunch meeting yesterday. Went home, had an early lunch meeting so that I could go home. Spend a little time with the wife. She works home on Friday. Spend a little time with the puppers yesterday. Get all our stuff together.
Yesterday was Thursday.
Yeah. I mean, on Thursdays. Went home, did all that, watched that game happen. So I am going to rant about that later. To the one texter who said, Rob, period, Braves, period, sad face emoji. Yeah, no, I got it. Trust me, we're getting to that. But we're talking NBA Finals game number one here in hour number one of the radio broadcast. I think there's a lot of different angles to attack in this game. First off, I think I am now happy to go ahead and say that Tyrese Halliburton deserves a spot in the conversation, Zoe. And I'm curious if you agree with this, and I'm curious how many of y'all agree with this, because I said last night on the Twitter device, after that shot went down, because like the wife was asleep and the dogs don't care about basketball, I said to myself, I have to go on Twitter and scream into the void. That's what it's for. It's to yell into the abyss. BetMGM put up a clip of Tyrese Halliburton going down the right side, knocking down the mid-range J to take a 111-110 lead with 0.03 seconds remaining in that game. And I said on Twitter, I quote tweeted the post where BetMGM threw up that video captcha. I said, if you don't think he's a star, you don't know ball, brother. I tried to tell you all, because I've been on the Tyrese Halliburton train for like 3 weeks now. And I got a reply from Oats and Hoes, which is a great Twitter handle.
Oats and what?
Oats and Hoes.
Oh, okay.
Like Boats and Hoes. But my buddy's last name is Oats, so he calls himself Oats and Hoes.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah. Okay. Said, quote, he's not a superstar, but he's definitely the go-to guy. He's not scared to take a big shot, which is, again, true, because if I recall correctly, I believe that was his fifth late-game go-ahead or tie-it-up shot. So I'm willing to.
I mentioned Steve Kerr. I mentioned John Paxson. So is your buddy Oates saying he's more along the lines of those guys than he is, you know, a major superstar?
That is the impression that I'm getting. And he was not alone. I was also in a group text of the boys, eh? Was in a group text of the fellas last night talking shooty hoops as this game was going on. And we were having this exact same debate. Now, there was five, maybe six of us old fraternity brothers from back in the day. which means we're all about the same age. We're all about 40-ish, a couple of years older, a couple of years younger. I think there's either five or six frat bros in this conversation. And two or three of us are like big-time basketball guys, like me. Two or three of us are kind of like, eh, whatever, like I'll watch because it's on, or gambling guys. And then there are a couple of guys that like don't really love basketball, but that's what the group chat's talking about. That's what we're talking about kind of thing. And we were also having the discussion of, even if the Thunder win this series, if the Pacers make it close and Tyrese Halliburton does that two or three times, are we elevating a guy who the NBA players a few months ago labeled the most overrated player in the NBA? Number one, does he come off that list? And number two, does this qualify Tyrese Halliburton to be discussed with Giannis Antetokounmpo, Luka Doncic, LeBron James, Kevin Durant, Steph Curry? Does this series, if it is close, and if Tyrese knocks down a couple of those, or maybe has he gotten there already, but if he keeps performing like that, are we good with placing Tyrese Halliburton, who, by the way, somebody on social media yesterday pointed out that Tyrese Halliburton's resume is like quietly, shockingly impressive. He is a two-time All-Star, a two-time All-NBA third team in his first 2 years in the league. He is an NBA rookie, all-rookie first team. He was the 2024 NBA assist leader. He is a 2024 Parisian Olympic Games gold medalist. He is a 2019 FIBA Under-19 World Cup gold medalist. He's gonna end up with some sort of hardware this year. Maybe it's an All-NBA player. I don't know. We'll see what the postseason rewards look like for Tyrese. But he's going to add some hardware to the trophy case. He has quietly amassed, since being drafted in 2021, he has quietly amassed a pretty impressive resume thus far. Does that qualify Tyrese Halliburton to be labeled a superstar up there with names like Giannis and LeBron and Durant? Does that qualify him to just be called a star? And I'm like trying to think of who I would put in the category of like star. Not like superstar, but a star. Like a good player, but not a guy we'd say, that's him. That's that guy. Devin Booker, maybe, goes on that list. Like real good player, but he hasn't really been him for a team yet. Do we put him into that category? Or is there somewhere else that Tyrese Halliburton, is there like a third category I haven't considered that Tyrese Halliburton deserves to be mentioned in right now? Where are we putting this cat? Because he's carried the Pacers. I think it's fair to say carried, even though it was Pascal Siakam who won the Eastern Conference Finals MVP. I have also said that while Pascal Siakam has been a dude for these dudes the past cut, and was a dude again last night, led the Pacers in points last night, if I recall correctly. Well, Pascal Siakam has been a dude for these dudes so far in this postseason. I would also point out that all of it is directly connected to Tyrese Halliburton. What was Mario's rule of thumb? I've patted Mario on the back like twice in this show so far. I don't like doing that. But hating ass Mario had a rule that he gave us in the days, in the interview before the Eastern Conference Finals started up. He said, the day before the NBA Finals started up, he said that if Tyrese gets 10 assists, the Pacers have won, at least through the Eastern Conference Finals, just about every game in these playoffs. If Tyrese Halliburton gets 10 assists, the Pacers win. Want to take a stab in the dark, Lonzo, at how many assists Tyrese Halliburton had last night?
You're setting it up like it's 10, so I'm going to go 12.
It's 10! It's 10 on the mark. I set it up because that's what it is. He got his 10. I believe four of those went to Pascal Siakam, which would be More than half of the buckets that Pascal Siakam scored going 7 of 15. But there was also one more thing. Mario also said one of the reasons he thinks that the Pacers were able to get by the Knicks but would have some problem with the Thunder was because the Thunder are deeper, right? They come 6-7 off the bench routinely. The Indiana Pacers last night played 10 players. All 10 of them scored at least 3 points. Off the bench, 17 from Obi Toppin, who, by the way, you will remember, I said was my X factor of this series. There were two. Miles Turner being equal with Chet Holmgren. Miles Turner had 15 points, 5 of 10, 2 of 5 from deep. Chet Holmgren had 6 points, 6 rebounds. Miles Turner had 15 and 9. Miles Turner was a better player underneath last night. X factor 2 was I needed Obi Toppin and Benedict Mathurin to be good off the bench. Mathurin went 60 minutes, 1 of 5, but he had a hurt. You could see he hurt his shoulder. Now, that's going to be a problem in game 2. If that's a lingering injury, that's a big problem. But everybody contributed for the Pacers last night, and to me, that is all centered around Tyrese Halliburton. That is all centered around that classic NBA point guard style of game that I've been praising him for like 3 weeks, right? Classic NBA guy. Gets to 10 assists, threatens the triple-double. That's what I'm looking for. Oh, I have screwed up, Lonzo. I have screwed up. I read the box score wrong. He had 10 rebounds. He only had 6 assists last night. So the rule got broken. Only 6 of 6 for Tyrese, 14 points, 10 rebounds, though. So made up some ground there. Still, even with my dumbass reading the box score wrong and putting the wrong stat in the wrong spot when I wrote down my stat lines this morning, my bad, I own it, he still came through in the clutch in big spots, including that shot. Texture said, Rob, to me, Tyrese is a star for sure, but not a superstar yet. He is in the Jimmy Buckets, Donovan Mitchell area right now. You know what? I like that, Texter. I think that's good. What does he have to do? If they win this series, is he elevated to superstar?
Especially if it goes to like a game 7 and he does what he did last night to win the whole thing.
Do you think a superstar has to have like a
superstar moment?
Yeah. You think like a superstar has to have that moment that we go, we watch this kid graduate.
Especially today in the social media world where that particular moment will be shared over and over again millions of times.
That's fair. His moment from last night was trending globally within seconds. Seconds. That's a superstar moment. Now, if he adds that onto winning a title, yeah, I think we could be talking here. All right. There's your NBA Finals breakdown. It's not the only NBA Finals breakdown. We got 3.5 more hours of radio to do, people. So come back for it. Rob Alonso and you, the Rob Brown Show is on the Fan Upstate.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
History That Doesn't Suck is a legit, seriously researched, hard-hitting history podcast told through entertaining stories. Listen to History That Doesn't Suck on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, I am not supposed to go back to the segment that we just did, but I'm going to go back to the segment we just did because during the break, I was talking to the great one, but I was also spinning the old noodle around a little bit because I've heard this question asked, and I know that this is kind of a this is kind of a peak off-season radio segment, but I also think it is apropos for the conversation that we were having about last night about Tyrese Haliburton, about where he is in the game, because let's keep it a buck. That man is making a name for himself right now. So I was thinking to myself during the break after we had a texter that sent in a text that Lonzo and I both liked, saying that I don't think he is I think he's a star. Texter said, Tyrese is a star for sure, but not a superstar to me. He is in the Jimmy Buckets, Donovan Mitchell era right now. And I think that's fair, right? I think that's fair. Ryan Horvat, one half of BetMGM tonight, which I will be guest hosting tonight, by the way, if you want. Four more hours of Rob Brown. Tune in from 7 to 11 p.m. right here on the Fan Upstate. Ryan Horvat has said about Jimmy Butler, and this got triggered because of the text that I just read to you. Ryan Horvat has said for a couple of years that I've been working with him now that he thinks Jimmy Buckets is a good player, but that Jimmy Butler will, his phrase not mine, never be the best player on a championship team. Now, I reserve the right to say championship caliber team, right? Because I think there may be like two or three. I think the Thunder and the Pacers are both championship caliber teams, right? Well, only one of them can win it, but I think either one of them can win it. So Ryan Horvat has said about Jimmy Butler, he'll never be the best player on a championship team. I am going to evolve that statement by one level and say on a championship caliber team. And much like Tyrese Haliburton is doing with the Pacers right now and kind of getting into the role of this guy is the best player on a championship caliber team. During that series against the Timberwolves, after Steph went down, Jimmy Butler had the opportunity to step up and make himself appear to be the best player on a championship caliber team. Because even though they were dogs in that series from the get to the finish, a lot of us, and I don't know if everybody listening agrees, a lot of us were going into that series going, Golden State is they're kind of the could screw everything up team in this bracket, right? Like they're kind of the wrench in the machine. They could be the team that nobody really considered a threat coming in. But yet, with the pedigree that they have, the experience that they have, and the talent level that they have, primarily around playoff Jimmy and Steph Curry, maybe they could pull an upset in a series and knock out a team that was considered a championship contender, like Minnesota. But of course, Steph Curry played a game and a half, went down to an injury, then it became the Jimmy and Draymond show, and for whatever reason, Jimmy Buckets became the most, and I'm standing on this as somebody who is complimented and loved up on Jimmy Butler on this show since it started. Love Jimmy Butler, love the player, love the character, love the gimmicks, love the emo Fallout Boy Media Day poses every year. Love Jimmy Butler. Have given Jimmy Butler flowers on this show for a very long time. Jimmy Butler was the most disappointing person individually, most disappointing player in these playoffs, right? Because when Steph went down, we all went, it's the Jimmy Butler show. And instead, I had Jimmy Butler out here in games that were winnable against the Timberwolves. I had Jimmy Butler out here taking like 5 and 7 field goal attempts. What are we doing? Like, buddy, you're one of the few guys that I want being selfish with the basketball. You're one of the few guys that I want taking over the game. I always praise team players. One of the reasons I love Tyrese Haliburton. I think he is one of the most complete team-oriented superstars, or regular stars, I guess, in the league. And to be clear, and I don't know if you'll agree with this either, I do not think that in order to be elevated to superstar status, you have to be the type of player who gets 45 points, 45-5-3 a game. I think you can be a 20-12-9 guy and be elevated to the level of superstar, because I also think one of the qualifiers to be labeled an NBA superstar for me is, and I know it's cliche, but I think it's a cliche like many cliches are for a reason. I think a superstar is a player who makes everybody around them better, right? Like, I think maybe without saying it outright. I think most of us would agree with that, right? Shaq made everybody around him better. Kobe made everyone around him better. Michael Jordan made everybody around him better. Magic Johnson, Larry Bird, they made everybody around him better. Even if they were taking over a game, everybody else fed off of that. Tyrese Halliburton, if no other qualification of NBA superstar, Tyrese Halliburton meets that one. He does make everything. Pascal Siakam won the Eastern Conference Finals MVP, and I place that trophy squarely between him and Tyrese Halliburton. I think Pascal Siakam has had this career renaissance to some degree because Tyrese Halliburton understands how to get Pascal Siakam involved in the offense, how to maneuver the offense to Tyrese so that Siakam is given the opportunities to knock down those threes and whatnot. I also think, and again, a lot of this has to do with coaching, but I also think Tyrese Halliburton, as well as just about any point guard in the game right now, and I do consider him a point guard, as well as any point guard in the game right now, understands, realizes strengths and weaknesses for both his team and the defense they're around. Lonzo pointed out back in segment number one, as we are still in hour number one, pointed out back in segment number one, that when the Pacers started chipping away at that lead was when they started knocking down those corner threes, when they started playing from the short corner. Why? Because that is where they found the chink in the armor of the defense of the Thunder. Okay, the wing defense isn't there right now. They're picking us up well at the point, and they're playing pretty well down in the paint. So they're giving us the wings. And so the Pacers started playing to the wings. Tyrese started to attack the wings. And once they started going down to the wings, then the rest of the floor opened up, including the paint. At one point in the broadcast, Doris Burke pointed out that there was like 7 or 8 possessions in a row for the Pacers where if the ball touched the paint, if whoever had the ball touched the paint, they scored. And the couple of times they didn't touch the paint, they didn't score, right? I think he picks up on that. I think that's part of being a genuine superstar is understanding your team and what they need out of you to succeed while you can still take over a game. And while Tyrese maybe doesn't take over a game by having, 42 points, Tyrese did take over the game last night by realizing, all 5 of my starters are double-digit scorers tonight. And the Thunder are dialed in on me. So let's use that to open up the floor. Nesmith got 10, Nembhard got 14, Halliburton got his 14, Obi Toppin got 17 off the bench. So I think one of the qualifications is makes everybody better around him. And then I think to go back to kind of where we started this conversation about why I like that text that said I put him in the Jimmy Butler, Donovan Mitchell area, which again, I think is very fair. Horvat has described Jimmy Buckets as he'll never be the best player on a championship team. And I actually accept that. Now I do. Four weeks ago, I would have 1,000% pushed back against that. I'd have been like, hey, Ken. But then that Timberwolves series happened, and it's like, oh, okay. Either he can't or he doesn't want to be. Either way, understandable, but either he can or he doesn't want to be. Here's the thing about Tyrese. I think Tyrese, great one, has the opportunity to kill that narrative about himself. And nobody seems to be saying that right now, right? Like Horvat's not saying that about Jimmy Butler. He doesn't say that about Tyrese. I think Tyrese has the opportunity to kill that narrative before it gets started. And I don't even think the Pacers necessarily need to win the NBA title for that to happen. I think if they like force it to 7 games and lose a close one, right? Because the Thunder came into this as a -750 favorite. That is the second longest favorite odds in the last 20 years. If the Pacers make this a question mark, take it to 7, lose in a close one, or especially if they win it, then I think Tyrese Halliburton kills off the will never be the best player on a championship team because, yes, Siakam's playing well. Yes, Nembhard and Nesmith have kind of come out of nowhere and put themselves on the stage, but right now, is there anybody that's going to say Tyrese Halliburton isn't the best player on that team? Because he absolutely is.
He is, but here's the reason why he doesn't shine as much as other superstars on other teams. The team is really about team.
It is a team.
And so it's not about, we got to get that guy the ball. We got to get that guy the ball. Now, they did for the last shot because you got to get him the ball for the last shot. But other than that, you look at that, and it's a pretty complete team. There is no, oh, that guy's standing out. That guy's taking over the game. It's everybody's contributing.
I completely agree. In fact, yesterday when we did our full breakdown of this game, both individually and with Mario, one of the things that I hit on is this is, even though it is two small market teams, and they are two small market teams, which as a small market guy, yay! Even though it's two small market teams, and I got to listen to the big blowhards in their white suits on TV who clearly want to complain about it.
That was a kingpin. That was
I'm not talking about anybody specific.
Someone thinks he's kingpin. I wonder why.
Yeah.
That was a little, like, come on, dude.
Shout out Michelle Beadle and Cody Decker. That's another story for another time. I got to listen to the big market clowns cry on TV because their Knicks and Celtics got bounced. Ha ha ha. Well, it is two small market teams. Do you know what I love about this finals more than anything else? And this isn't a secret. If you've been listening to the show, you know exactly why. Because, and I mean this, they're the best two teams. I mean, team basketball, right? Timberwolves are Anthony Edwards and then some guys that play around him. Golden State is Steph Curry and some guys who play around him. The Lakers are Luka, LeBron, and a bunch of question marks around him. Like, in these NBA playoffs this year, the last couple of years, and we talked about this yesterday on the show when I played you the comments from Adam Silver, when he said Europe is pulling away from us because the guys that are coming over here to play in the league, the Europeans coming over here to play in the league, they're more developed as players. They're just more developed because in Europe, they practice 9 times a week and play 1 game. And in the United States, we play 9 games a week and have 1 practice. So the Europeans are more developed. But there's an element of that too, which is we for so many years, and I do put this on us, we for so many years celebrate one number, points scored. That's it. That's it. We celebrate points scored. Steph Curry can go out and throw 17 assists in a game. And if he scores 11, what does everybody do the next day? Steph Curry only had 11 points. It's like, bro, he was responsible for 40 more. Like, why are we not talking about that? And I think over the last couple of years, and again, that's kind of an on us as American sports fans, because we watched shot creators like Kobe Bryant, who was also a distributor, but shot creators like Kobe Bryant. And we think, okay, here's these guys, Kobe and Michael and these dominant shot creators. And we have a hard time realizing that very few guys are that guy. So we expect every superstar to reach the Kobe and the Michael era. But that's not a thing. There's a reason we celebrate those guys. It's because they're so gosh dang unusual and out of the ordinary. That's not a thing. So when we expect guys like Tyrese Halliburton and Jimmy Butler and whatever, Donovan Mitchell, to be Kobe and Michael, we set ourselves up for failure. To me, we put such an emphasis on guys being shot creators, being guys who go get 40 and take over games, and we don't really put it into the perspective of there just ain't a lot of those guys in any generation of players, LeBron, just not a lot of those guys. So to me, when we have a year where, you know, there's Ant-Man, he's like, he's right there on the cusp, but he's not really there. Why do you think we've been leaning on LeBron and Steph Curry for like the last 3 years? Because there's not a lot of guys that have stepped up into that position. We are at an era right now, and I think the Thunder and the Pacers, I am hoping, are going to cause a deep philosophical shift across the association. These are the best two basketball teams. Maybe not have the best two players, although SGA is. These are the best two overall, top to bottom, 5 starters, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 reserves off the bench, play team basketball teams, and that is why they are in the NBA's finals. And if Tyrese Halliburton is the best player on the either best or second best team in the NBA, then I'm moving him into the superstar bracket if he can help this team make it a close series.
I am curious what the narrative will be when this is over. I mean, if the ratings are up, are they going to say, oh, it had nothing to do with small market team, it had nothing to do with it, it had to do with this star? Well, they make someone a star instead of pointing out that two teams played and no one hardly anyone cares if it's small market or big market. It's, was it a good game? Is it a good team? Was it a good series? The only way I know if something's small market or big market is if you tell. I mean, I know New York and LA, but other than that, I don't know what small market and big market is. The world is smaller because of social media, and markets grow bigger all the time. Ours has grown a bunch. It didn't start out where it was when I started here 28 in the city 28 years ago, and now it's supposedly moved up. How do you tell? Only if someone tells you.
You can look at
traffic. That's a difference, but still.
I will agree that to some degree, market size is a less impactful metric than it used to be, but also at the same time, it's not, because while market size maybe doesn't matter to like TV distribution like it did, it does matter to fan base size, right? Like the Pelicans are just never going to have the fan base the Knicks have. It's just never going to happen no matter what happens. The Thunder are never going to have a fan base the size of the Knicks, the size of the Celtics, the size of the Bulls.
Some of that has to do with family. With people in New York,
whatever reason, and they
raise their kids to be a fan of that.
Correct.
The Pelicans haven't been around long enough to have generational fans.
I don't disagree, but even if they have generational fans, New Orleans has 700,000 people. New York has 2.8 million.
Yeah, and the world has a whole lot more, and people can be fans in other states.
This circles back to the conversation of, if New Orleans, every time they develop a superstar to championship caliber, he ends up going to New York, LA, Chicago, then they're never going to have that guy who becomes that global phenomenon. They hoped it was AD. He ends up a Laker. Hope it was Chris Paul. He ended up a Clipper. They hoped it was Zion Williamson. He ended up a fan of Popeyes. Like, you can't grow a guy to become the global guy that then takes your team to that next level. But I'm even willing to put all that aside for the sake of the finals and just dial in, because we do have two smart market teams. You have the best two teams in the NBA, and my only hope, young coaches out there, look at these two teams and realize, I should coach my guys to understand how to play basketball in a team environment, not go out there and shoot 50 shots to get 40 points and lose. Hey, speaking of All-Stars, here's Lonzo Sports Flash.
As we've been talking about, game one of the NBA Finals goes to the Indiana Pacers with the 111-110 win on the road. The Pacers did not take a lead until Tyrese Haliburton knocked down a mid-range jumper with 0.03 seconds remaining, two of his 14 points on the night. Game two is this Sunday. The Atlanta Braves took a 6-run lead into the top of the ninth against Arizona, but surrendered 7 runs in the final frame, giving the Diamondbacks an 11-10 win and a sweep of the series. Scott Blewett and Raisel Iglesias combined to give up 8 runs and struck out only 1 in the final 2 innings of work. In case you didn't know, Aaron Rodgers has agreed to a 1-year deal with the Pittsburgh Steelers, and all the haters are going crazy. It's fun. Pending the physical, the news comes 80 days after the start of free agency. Rodgers is expected to arrive in Pittsburgh and join the team today. Hour number 2 of the Rob Brown Show, next.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Sometimes historic events suck. But what shouldn't suck is learning about history. I do that through storytelling. History That Doesn't Suck is a chart-topping history-telling podcast chronicling the epic story of America, decade by decade. Right now, I'm digging into the history of incredible infrastructure projects of the 1930s, including the Hoover Dam, the Empire State Building, the Golden Gate Bridge, and more. The promise is in the title, History That Doesn't Suck. Available on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.